If what's going to happen wasn't so comical, I'd think it tragic.
Down from rats on up to riches, 15 minutes you can fly. Pretty blue lights along the way help you ride on by, and the blue lights shining with a heavenly grace help you ride on by.
You're listening to the League Podcast, episode 317, and I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno.
All right, welcome back, Clay.
Welcome back to you.
Welcome back to you. I finally made it home after a harrowing Uber pool. I don't know why.
You can't expect to get anywhere. Like at a particular time, if you take a pool.
No, I know. But not... I mean, we were making good time until the guy just blew past the exit that he was supposed to get off. And now the thing is about pool is you don't always know where the other person's. I mean, you can look at the map, but I wasn't really looking at the map. And I was like, I wonder where this other person lives. And, like, turns out he wasn't even going anywhere near her place. He could have dropped us off first and been closer to where she lived. But instead, he drove, like, in a giant circle to drop her off first.
Well, a lot of times, whatever. They don't really know the city all that well, which is surprising
to
me.
I know, but they have the app right there.
Yeah,
I know.
Sometimes the app doesn't tell you the best way to get someplace. Like, if you've been in the city for a long time, you know, go this way.
I know. But, like, if he had just followed the app, it would have been better. Which I don't even know if he did that. I don't know what the hell was going on. And sometimes, you know, I know there's different settings for the app or whatever. You know, I mean, like, you can have, like, fewest... You know, traffic lights or whatever. I don't know. But I'll be getting some money back from Uber on that one. Don't you worry.
You're complaining about the pool?
Yeah, you can do that. They almost never... I'm just going to say this right now because nobody listens. And Uber probably doesn't listen. But they almost never argue with you. If you just say, yeah, I didn't like that. They'll be like, here's some credit.
Oh, yeah, I've gotten that before.
You know what I mean? They don't question you at all. Because
never done that for a pool, but
really? Oh, that's the only way to do it.
Well, for a regular ride that I don't like an Uber X or whatever. But if they do something stupid, I always complain.
Well, I gave the guy one star, so they'll. But they can track your route. That's the thing. They can track the route that you took.
Yeah.
So they'll be able to see that we drove all the way to Alston and then turned around and all the way back to Fenway. So if you're from around here, you know what a bunch of bullshit that is.
Wow.
All right.
I feel like I've been talking about your Uber pool ride for an hour.
Person's angry. An hour? We've only been talking for like...
I know, but you've been texting with me about it.
I know. Well, that's true. I did. Hey, speaking of a bunch of bullshit, so what do you think about this Brian Michael Bendis... We have to talk about this. The big news story in comics. Bendis to DC.
I don't think it's bullshit. I think it's cool.
I just wanted to say, speaking of bullshit.
I think it's cool. You know what? If you think about all the cool stuff he's done for Marvel, he's going to do, you know, the same for DC. It's good. Get him out of, a slump or whatever. Like, get him out of... Put his attention on some different characters. I think it's pretty awesome. Good move on DC's part, for sure.
Do you know anything about this? There's supposedly more than just like, oh, a new challenge and blah blah blah. There was some stuff going on behind the scenes, apparently. According to Bleeding Cool, that his books, his numbers weren't getting the kind of, you know, sales and his books were kind of late. His contract was up, and he wasn't getting a big raise.
His contract is up. That's it. I mean, you know, he's
like, yeah, but I mean, like, I'm sure his contract. Yeah, he's a top guy, but he wasn't. Apparently, Marvel, you know, there's some rumors that he wasn't the top guy anymore. And he might have been a little upset that he wasn't involved in the film division as much as he would have liked.
Yeah.
He wasn't part of that mix, is all that I'm saying. Like, he wasn't part of the film mix, so, you know.
That seems like the Marvel Studios is its own rolling train, you know? Like,
no, well, apparently, according to this, Bendis wrote the first Marvel end credit sequence with Samuel Jackson in the first Iron Man movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess Kevin Feige wasn't putting him in that, just wasn't, you know, involving him in any of that stuff. I mean, I'm pretty sure that, you know, a lot of, even though you, like, you're, it's its own division, but I think a lot of times they'll ask some of the comic guys to consult or whatever.
Well, Christopher Yost, who's been writing Spider-Man for a long time, with Dan Slotin, has done a lot of the Marvel TV animation stuff, like the Ultimate Spider-Man show, and he did like a bunch of Spidey stuff. He was like the main writer listed in Thor Ragnarok credits.
Yes, that is true.
And I always like his stuff.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so here's
I say whatever to all that. I mean, I just think, you know, Bendis is like, if there's no argument that the guy is a really good storyteller, and he did a ton for Marvel, and now he's gonna go do a ton of good stuff for DC. Like, and if he can bump up the DC extended universe, or even if they reboot after Justice League to do like more DC movies, and he can get involved like Geoff Johns is involved, then that's definitely a good thing.
Oh, it's definitely great for DC. Yeah, that he's going over there, and he can hopefully reinvigorate some of these sort of tired books, you know, or even do for some characters at DC, like what he did for like Luke Cage, who was nobody,
right?
You know, and now he's got his own fucking Netflix show, you know. like nobody was putting Luke Cage in any books until Bendis came along. And that's just one example. He did it for a lot of characters. But yeah. So here's sorry, I'm just, from Marvel's perspective on this, though, they wanted to, you know, they wanted to do some increased diversity, and there was a negative. Bendis, you know, he created Miles Morales, and he created Riri Williams, the new Iron Man. And there was a disagreement there. There was some headbutting with him. So here's the rumor. They were going to make Spider-Man, the comic book, not amazing, but just plain old Spider-Man with Miles Morales. They were going to give that back as like a Peter Parker character. And then they were going to make a Miles Morales Spider-Man. And Bendis was like, no, like, we're already doing it. Why? What are you doing? I don't know. And they told them, diversity doesn't sell. That's one of the... This is supposedly what happened. They said, no, diversity doesn't sell. So...
I don't know. Were you just getting this off of Bleeding Cool, though? I mean...
Yeah, I'm just getting this Bleeding Cool. I don't know. So this could all be a bunch of crap.
Yeah, I mean, the point is... Bleeding Cool, Rich Johnson, I mean, he's kind of like a sensationalist. Like, oh, there has to be, like, a bad reason that this has happened. You know, it's like...
Maybe you're right. Maybe it could be all made up. But
I mean, diversity doesn't sell. I mean, like, that's like the opposite of. I mean, yeah, they're going back to the legacy characters and all that. So.
Well, you know what? When it comes to Marvel, nothing was really selling. So I don't know, diversity or not, I don't think any of the books were really selling all that well. So.
Yeah. I mean,
but I think that would be. You know, I think the point was he was kind of losing it. They were disappointed with the sales of his books, and he was probably disappointed with what they were, you know, trying to give him. And you know what? Fuck it. 17 years? He's like, yeah, I mean, you know what? Never mind.
Yeah, I mean, look at it like, it's not really a parallel, but like Kirby did the same thing. You know, Kirby left and went to DC and then came back to Marvel. You know, like
I think it's definitely a parallel. I think that's a good comparison.
Well, I don't think it was like when Kirby left, it was like he was really getting into it with Stan. This is, I feel like, even if some of what you were saying was true, those rumors are about like his sales or whatever. I mean, he still had, he was like pretty much like the toppest guy besides like being like Tom Brevoort or like Joe Quesada, you know, running the actual business or being the editor in chief. Like, he's like the main storyteller over there, like crafting, you know, the, when they used to call it the architects, and he was like the last remaining architect over there. So I'm surprised he lasted this long, in all honesty, to like be able to just move on and like do something different. Like, I don't think it's, I think maybe there's some, there's always a lot of different reasons that everybody like wants to speculate. So maybe there is like, those bleeding cool rumors are true, but maybe also like he wanted to do something a little bit different. DC probably offered him like a lot of money.
I mean, he was, oh, I'm sure they offered him a lot of money. I'm sure that was a big reason. I don't want to discount
that. Now look who you have. You have Jeff Johns, Jim Lee, like all these like amazing creators at the very, very top of DC. Like, that's pretty awesome.
John Romita Jr. is already over at DC.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them are. And he's been offered a seat at the table, as they say, with Jeff Johns in the film division.
And, so, and like, that's
which
good.
Is something he never really got. Yeah, he will be right up there with in the movie, which they really do need.
And, like, that's, and, yes. That's what is, of the DC movies, like, really what is awesome is what Jeff Johns does bring to it. Like, he does make sure. Jeff Johns is like complete encyclopedia of all DC knowledge and like how these characters interact and everything like that. So yeah, you bring in another strong writer like him to give them a nice backbone. It's cool. It's,
yeah, well, they definitely need a shot in the arm. I mean, I don't know. We haven't seen Justice League yet, obviously, but
I've been hearing pretty good things. I was just watching Wonder Woman this morning, and you know, you think about, it's also, same thing happened, like, with Joss Whedon when he took over for, it was, like, unfortunate circumstances, but, you know,
right.
When Joss Whedon took over for Zack Snyder, it's, like, it's almost the same thing, too, like, Whedon, come on over to the DC, you know?
Right. It is, well, no, it's, I mean, it's good, it's great, like I said, it's great for DC. I'm a little sad, because I don't know what it means for, like, the Jessica Jones comic, which was, you know, like I was really enjoying that. And I don't know. I've never really felt this when she's not being written by Bendis. There's definitely something missing from her dialogue. You know, like there's Jessica Jones. You know, like she's a Bendis character, and he really.
I'm sure he's gonna finish
at a certain
finish up, or you know, these things are already
right,
written.
Right, I mean, it's not right. Like he's gonna... whatever he's already written, but like as far as that. Book going forward, obviously Marvel, maybe they'll just I assume they would bring on another writer.
Yeah, maybe. But, or they, yeah, well, they just, could. Yeah. But they'll do something, you know, they'll give it to like hopefully they'll give it to somebody good, or you know, like maybe they would give it to like Charles Soule or like a kind of a.
Yeah, he does everything else. So
yeah, I'm trying to think of like who's on their roster that would be really cool, or they give it to Warren Ellis or something, you know, like.
Right.
We'll see.
And of course, Miles Morales. I don't know what's gonna, you know.
Now that
Bendis created that guy. That, just like he created Jessica Jones and all these other guys.
That will make me sad. I know that Miles is now part of. Everything, like he's gonna be part of the cartoons, he'll probably be part of the movies, he'll just be like Stan and Steve like created Spider-Man, and Spider-Man is its own thing now. But there's like two comics that I started reading when I first started getting back into comics, that was Invincible and Ultimate Spider-Man. So when Bendis isn't writing Spider-Man, with Miles in it, which is, that's the current run we're in now. It's had different titles or whatever. But when he's not writing Ultimate Spider-Man anymore, I probably will drop that book now. You know?
Yeah, I...
His last issue will be probably my last issue. I don't think I'd want to read anymore.
Yeah, so that is the... there will be a effect on, I think, a few Marvel books, you know, like, you know.
And that one does,
in a way, like...
That one is the most personal and hurts the most to me, but I also want to see him write, like, a Batman story or, like, a Justice League story or Green Lantern story, you know, Bendis, like, or have him take somebody like the Ray and, like, transform him into being like a super popular character, like take like a B or C list DC character and give him like a cool backstory and just reinvent him and have him be like, oh, we're like, you know, like we're watching like TV shows of the Ray now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's the plan, at least for a couple of characters, but I mean, it'd be great to see him on like, yeah, like a mainstream kind of character too. But yeah, I was exactly we're in the same boat, man, because when I started buying comics again, it was Ultimate Spider-Man and Alias, and those are two Bendis books, and then I started getting Ultimate X-Men 2, which was Mark Miller. So, like, yeah, like, that is a different, it's not just like, oh, this guy that I like is going to work for DC, because, like, whatever, you know, like, it's not like, there was a real connection with certain characters that Bendis created, that nobody else, you know what I mean? You don't really get that with other guys, you know what I mean? Because we've always had Spider-Man and Captain America and Iron Man. But, you know, like, it's different for these certain characters.
And I wonder if it's just, like, the obvious thing would be, since he did the Avengers, and there's been always, like, really legendary runs on Justice League, if they just give him Justice League? I don't know. Like, it seems like pretty obvious.
They give him whatever he wants, you know.
I think they give him a team book, and that would have to be Justice League, right? Like, I don't know. That's my prediction.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think he's better writing like individual.
But I agree with you there. I think it is better when he's like focusing on like a smaller story.
Right,
but
Spider-Man.
But I feel like he actually does a pretty good job of writing Avengers stories and Avengers arcs. You know, I think he does that well too. But I prefer when he does, you know, the smaller stuff.
Right. Well, I definitely do too. Well, it's very interesting though, because he's not just like we said, a couple guys have already jumped to DC, and it's not. It's
and
not
like
that
Mark
big
Miller, it's like just went and did his own thing. And like,
right.
Bendis could very well have done that too, but, you know, wants to stay. I think he's kind of wants to stay mainstream and play with the big characters, you know?
Yeah, probably. And I'm like we said, I'm sure he got a fine amount of money to do that.
And if
you
think
fine, I mean, he's going to make a difference, so.
And if you go, and like, he had powers. The first Powers TV show didn't work out or something, right? And then it eventually became on PlayStation and Network or whatever that was. And I read some Powers comic books, and I watched a couple episodes of the TV, and it didn't seem like it was the same thing. You know? Like, it didn't seem like... Different. It didn't seem like even, like, Marvel TV adaptations are, like, still a little bit more, like... true to the comics and stuff like that. Powers just seemed like its own TV show.
It was very different from the comics. Especially the tone, I thought, was a lot different.
Yeah.
Like, the comics were kind of dark, you know?
Yeah.
Like, at least the ones that I read.
But I feel like he didn't get sort of like, I don't know what you're saying, like, about the Bleeding Cool rumors. It's like, he didn't get to, like, fulfill that part of it. Like, his story becoming something that was on TV, even with Jessica Jones.
Yeah, no, I...
You know?
Right. It was a little different. No, I think you're right. I mean, but even... I don't think he was that involved. But yeah, with Jessica Jones on Netflix, like, as far as, like, the creative process, I don't think he had much to do with it.
Yeah.
And that probably bugged him a little bit, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, that might be something he wants to dabble in, and now he's going to get his chance, so... I don't know. At least in the movie part. And like it said any other multimedia, so I assume the TV shows or whatever. But, yeah, whatever. I'm 17 years is probably a long time to be
to do anything. I mean, you know, like...
Yeah, exactly.
Good
I've been at him. My job 17 years, and I'm sick to death of it. But it was interesting. It was big news. Like we said, I'm sure it's a big check. And, you know, I'll be buying whatever book, you know, that they put him on first, just out of curiosity, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean...
So even if it's some, you know, Blue Beetle or something, you know what I mean? Like, I'll probably check it out just to...
Yeah, there's so much cool stuff. Oh, he would be really good. Now I'm just thinking, like, where I'd want to see him. Although Blue Beetle is certainly up there in probably my top 10 of books. I know, but I actually, when you said that, I know it's like a joke, but that actually would be really good. Because the new Blue Beetle is Jaime Reyes, so he would like almost be like a Miles Morales kind of character. But also I could see him doing, I don't know, just like I had one in my head, but then it went away. But Flash or just anything. Just anything would be great.
Right. Well, that's what I mean, like whatever it is, I'm sure a lot of people will buy it, myself included, just out of curiosity. Because, oh, this is the new Bendis DC book. But, you know, we'll see. Yeah. But like I said, my main concern was like, what about some of these Marvel books that he, you know, he was really...
Oh, I know what it was. Nightwing. I want to see him do Nightwing.
Oh, all right. I can see that. There you go.
Like, because that would be like kind of a little bit like Daredevil, you know?
That's right.
Like, the similarities there.
Yeah, I like that. All right. If you're listening, DC... Which you're not. Bend us on Nightwing, and we'll buy it.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
if they were listening, they'd be like, "Those," but that guy just said he'd buy anything.
Yeah, we'll put him on Blue Beetle then, or Booster Gold.
No, I think Nightwing is a great idea. Booster Gold. I think Nightwing would be a great idea. I think you're right. I think he could really do something with that character. Not that Nightwing isn't cool, but
no, he
I don't
could
know.
He's kind of you don't want it to be too similar to stuff he's done before, but you could kind of have
but he has a style, you know.
Yeah, you could kind of, it kind of fits his style, like his Daredevil run, like it, you know, blood,
right.
Like Daredevil in Bloodhaven kind of thing, you know, like.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great. I think Nightwing would be a great, really put some life into him. Not that he's just a little bland.
Well,
sometimes,
he's had.
You know?
Well, he's this guy, there's Kyle Higgins has been writing Nightwing and Nightwing stories like for as long as Bendis has been at Marvel, so like you almost need, and not to say other people haven't written Nightwing, they certainly have, but you almost need to have him take over on something that's like that, you know, like that somebody else has been just like so associated with, you know, just like
right
boom.
It'll be interesting, and I don't know, Marvel will have to do something to fill. There was a time, really, like, and this, it hasn't happened, it's been a few years, but really, literally, Bendis was seemingly writing, like, every book.
Yeah.
This is going back a few years, but, like, literally, it was pretty crazy. Like,
and he probably won't have to write every book at DC, but they'll probably give him a fair amount of stuff. Like, Scott Snyder is, like, the Batman guy, but now he sort of passed the torch over to Tom King. So they're like kind of the Batman team. And now it's, you know, but imagine if it was like Scott Snyder, Tom King, and Bendis like writing the next Batman crossover. Like that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, definitely would.
This is the biggest news.
This is. See, that's why we're talking about it.
But so, that guy Rich Johnson is bleeding cool, though. I mean, yeah, I read his stuff, but I take it all with a
grain of salt. I don't read his stuff. I literally Googled that as we were signing on.
No, I know, but I mean, you know, he's like the most, like, he's like the National Enquirer of comics news. And I don't blame him for that. It's fine. But, like, it's always like, well, we heard from insider source that says his books weren't selling well. none of the Marvel books are selling well. Right. I only found two books. I was in Austin, Texas last week for my Wednesday. Oh, so I went to Austin Books and Comics, which is a great shop. If you ever get a chance to go to Austin, you should go there in between taco truck stops. And there was only two Marvel. I mean, there weren't a lot of books, but I only bought like my Marvel books there. There was only two to buy. And I was like, okay.
Really?
One was Jessica Jones and the other one was Star Wars.
Yeah, well, those were... What else did I get? I got Venom, because Bagley is on it.
Oh, very well.
I think he was. Actually, I don't know if he is anymore. And what else did I get? I got an X-Men Gold. I thought about one more Marvel book. Oh, I bought Guardians of the Galaxy, and that wasn't really all that.
Well, we should talk about Jessica Jones.
All right, let's talk about Jessica Jones!
Since we're on a Bendis kick.
Speaking of Bendis... so this was an interesting, so Purple Man is back.
Can I just say, I have Please. To talk about this before we even open the book. What an amazing David Mack cover for this particular book.
Oh, as usual.
As usual, but this one
I know
is,
I'm a fan, I'm pretty biased, but this that, one is that was really a cool cover, but all his covers are, usually his covers though are kind of like,
amazing.
You know, Jessica's like standing there, but like, this, she's got the purple shit coming out of her head. It's crazy.
It kind of really reminded me of like a wine spill, like you know, spill like some red wine on a paper tablecloth or something, and Purple Man's coming out of her head. So
yeah, maybe that's what he did to get that image. He does a lot of that kind of weird stuff, where it's just like throw Scrabble letters or something, like you know, like on the. Like
it's
on the
very
canvas.
Very awesome cover.
Very well, David Mack, as usual. But, you know, we noticed. So anyway, yeah, Purple Man is back, and he has taken over her daughter, and her daughter is speaking to Jessica through, like, the Purple... Well, the Purple Man is speaking to Jessica through her daughter,
now,
I should say.
That might have happened... in the last issue, but I didn't exactly pick up on it until this issue.
It was the very last panel.
Right.
Of the previous issue. I will tell you, I forgot. I had forgotten that. But yeah, so it's creepy, it's really what it is.
Yeah, so she's like basically in hiding with her daughter. And
yeah,
then
so she takes the kid up to the Alpha Flight space station because she and Captain Marvel are buddies. So,
yeah, but before that, I mean, she's in hiding to escape Purple Man, and then the Purple Man starts talking to her through her little kid. It was really creepy.
Yeah, it's like fucking Stephen King shit. It's really
really
messed up. You know, like
really messed up.
This little kid talking like an adult and whatever, just being creepy.
And
so like, but
Luke Cage has gone back to the prison where he was being held, Rikers, and he wants to see the warden, and he's like wants to fight. All he's getting shot at by all the guards with M16s, and he's just like brushing it off because he's.
Oh, he wants to know why the hell you let this guy escape and didn't tell anybody.
Yeah. But he must have purple manned his way out of there, right? It's not their fault.
Yeah, I guess. Right. He just purple manned his way out.
Yeah. Like, kind of like how.
So, but it seems.
In the TV show, it was even. I felt like it was really creepy how he was purple manning around in Marvel Jessica Jones, like Stephen King style, like creepy.
Right.
He's
but
a creepy
there was
character.
About a kid. He is. He is a really creepy character. But there's something... Children are really creepy. Yeah. I'm just going to say that, right? You know, when used in that way. You know what I mean? Like The Shining and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Kids are creepy.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, whatever. Children of Corn and stuff. You know,
that's
like...
saying like, oh, I know you want me to go away and kill myself. But it's like Purple Man saying that to her through her little daughter.
Little child. Yeah, her toddler or whatever. Yeah.
Creep factor 10 for this issue.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But so there's something, I don't, and we don't know yet, but obviously Purple Man just wants to meet And it almost seems like he's not really, like, you know, he could kill her, I guess, is what we, like, some way, like, he could figure it out. But he just, he only wants to talk, is what he says.
Here's my prediction. So, they're going to do, like, what happened in, you don't watch Arrow, but maybe this is just for Josh. This week on Arrow, Deathstroke comes back to talk to Oliver Queen, Green Arrow, and Deathstroke and him, like, sort of kind of made up last season, but it's like, I need to, it's like kind of like a trope where it's like the really, really bad guy shows up to the good guy and is like, I need to talk, and then he's like, I need your help. Like, almost like a Thor Loki kind of thing. Like, but he needs to they need to talk because, you know, like, Deathstroke needs Oliver's resources to, you know, go find his son who's trapped somewhere in prison. But, like, do you think the Purple Man is going to say, like, I need your help, Jessica?
I don't know. I mean, there's something going on where he's, you know what I mean? It's not, I don't think it's. Yeah, I mean, it might be something. I mean, that's kind of an old school thing. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's not as nefarious probably as Jessica thinks it is. And you can't blame Jessica for thinking, like, this guy's evil and I don't want him anywhere near me.
But maybe it is, I'm thinking, because you don't know, because he's a Purple Man, he could be like a Loki. Like, he could be like, right, I'm going to trick her.
All a big lie.
Yeah. You know? That's what's creepy
about. Right. But at the moment, he doesn't want any. He just says, I just want to talk. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, I mean, major creepy stuff going on here.
And, yeah, you were mentioning the Alpha Flight space station. I was like, really? We have Alpha Flight is around still?
I know. That's kind of a weird thing for Jessica, who's a very street level, you know, like, character, to be up in space. But, you know, whatever.
And how is Captain Marvel related to Alpha Flight?
She's like their boss. Like, they are in her book. Like, she in the regular Captain Marvel book, that's what she does. She hangs out with Alpha Flight.
And, are they still Canadian?
Well, like, yeah, a couple of them, but they live up there. They're the first line of defense in any kind of, like, alien invasion. Is basically the. That's the thing.
Oh, Marvel Cosmic. Always.
It's not like it was. Confusing. It's actually literally only two members of Alpha Flight are still in Alpha Flight. The little guy and the big guy.
Yeah, I didn't know who those other two girls were.
They're Alpha just Flight. Like trainees or something. They're not really involved. Oh, and that Agent Brand, she's like been around Marvel for a while. She's another Bendis creation, I think. Or maybe not. Maybe she was a John Cassidy here. What's his name? In that Cassidy and Joss Whedon run on Astonishing X-Men. I can't remember, but she's been around Marvel a while. She's been in Alpha.
Created by Joss Whedon and John Cassidy.
See, I was right. Abigail
Brand. Is she a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent? No.
Well, it was called S.W.O.R.D. It was kind of like S.H.I.E.L.D. for aliens was the deal.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Sword.
But she's not around.
Sentient
Sword,
I think, is World dead. Observation and Response Department. Okay.
There you go. Yeah. I don't think they're not around anymore. But apparently S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't even around anymore. So neither of us read Secret Empire, but I think that's what we're supposed to gather from one of the things that happened there. S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of got, like, kaput. Because Steve Rogers did something. I don't know. Anywho.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's Jessica Jones. I hope at least Bendis has finished writing this arc.
Oh, he will.
Because I want to see what happens with the Purple Man.
I'm sure he will. I mean, this didn't even say, like, my last day at Marvel is X. It was just like,
right,
I'm going to DC. Bye.
Well, this issue came out literally like the next day, I think, or you know, the same week, obviously, as the when the news broke. So I don't know, but yeah, when you think of the Purple Man, that's another character that he had been around a long time, but he was pretty late. Like, he was really B-list. And I think Bendis kind of thought, like, that guy's got a really cool power that you can really do some fucked up stuff with.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So,
right.
I wonder what kind of stuff he could do to some of these DC villains, you know?
Ah, that would be cool.
Yeah. All right, so speaking of new creative teams, which I don't know that we were, but we got a new one on Star Wars.
Yes.
So, yeah, after 37 issues.
But not so new because of all the great work Kieran's been doing on Darth Vader and Dr. Aphra. So it's not like they just were like, hey, Matt Durson, why don't you write Star Wars?
You don't think I can write Star Wars?
No, I'm just saying they didn't choose somebody that hadn't written it before.
Right.
Like, he's written these characters. And to much
right.
great reviews. I definitely enjoyed Darth Vader. I know I didn't like it
absolutely.
Really much, but I like Dr. Aphra too. But now he's, you know, when you're sticking with the Skywalker storyline, not new characters, he knows what's up.
Yeah, he does. And this is an interesting, because they go back to Jedha, which is the planet in Rogue One that we first saw the Death Star, you know, blow up. And that was Saw Gerrera's planet and his guys. And
it's also after the battle of... after... This is also after they blew up Princess Leia's planet, whatever it was called.
Alderaan,
yeah.
Come on, Clay! Where?
No, it just had a blank. It had a blank.
All right. It's okay. This is after New Hope, right? And this series, this is still in the same time frame as the other. Whatever. So, but they're looking for kyber crystals, or the Empire is looking for kyber crystals, which make, of course, lightsabers. And they're mining it, and the planet is really, it's actually, there's a really cool picture, you know, of the planet sort of falling apart. Like, and it's just, it's a really big chunk taken out of it by the Death Star blast. It's just really cool looking. So it's pretty neat. So, like, the Empire is there, and then there's still some resistance. People who, even though Saw Gerrera is dead, but there are people who like worked with him. What do they call the Partisans or something like that? Is that the name of this group? Or whatever they're called, but they're the resistance group right now. And they hook up with Leia and Luke and Han, and you know. But there's tension. It's not like they're all buddy buddy. We're all going to fight the Empire. They're like, we don't really trust you either.
Right.
So. We'll see what happens going forward there, but that's pretty much the gist of it. They're trying to, Leia's trying to recruit these guys, be like, hey, we're all fighting the Empire. It's all good. And they're kind of like, I don't know. You know, so.
Like, I know who you are.
Yeah.
Big pain in
the like, yeah. That's right. They're like, oh, okay, princess, you know, kind of stuff. Whatever. But, I mean, they'll probably end up being good guys, but, you know, it's cool. It's a new wrinkle, and I like the fact that they're, because now that we know that that was literally right before the start of New Hope, it wasn't really that long ago in the Star Wars timeline. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it was right then.
Because this, all right, this comic is coming after New Hope. Like, you know. It wasn't that long after Rogue One either, right?
It's like a West Street situation.
Exactly. It's a West Street situation. So it's pretty cool, actually, that they, now that, like, well, you know, we have this other set of characters and this other sort of thing, we can just use that too for story. We can mine that for stories.
So. I feel like Kieran Gillen, even better than Jason Aaron, not besmirching his work at all. He was awesome at it. But
Kieran Gillen... Don't besmirch! Are you besmirching?
...was able to tie in even like prequel stuff in like tiny moments and
yes,
in flashbacks
true.
In Darth Vader, and now he's like going, he's like, okay, I'm going to dip a little bit into Rogue One for a second, drag that over here and add some moments from Rogue One, and then we're going to build a story off of some elements in here so it'll all make sense. So, I mean...
Yeah, no, that's true. That's very cool. So, yeah.
Then like, we have a Queen Trios of Shoyu Turun, or whatever her name is here, on the this like sort of anti-Princess Leia on the Empire ship.
But yes,
there was a there was a weird panel in here that I have to talk about. There's a page on the Star Destroyer where we got like, you know, we've got this guy with the claw hand.
Yeah.
And then, like, look at her face. It like looks like they just like scanned in a photo and like pasted it in there.
I think there's a few of those in this book, actually. It's kind of jarring at some points. There are pictures of actual people.
It is a little jarring.
It's a little weird. Yeah.
And I know he does that sometimes. And like when, I don't know, when he was doing that with Iron Man, I didn't really mind.
Yeah, sometimes in this book, there were a couple that you're like, well, that's just a photo. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Like, sometimes you could tell there was like a photo reference, or he might have traced it, or at least he did something to
it. I really like
Photoshop or some damn thing.
I really like his art, but that kind of thing, like, really, I hate when people say this because they say it too much. Like, it takes you out of it. Like, it really takes me out of it to go like, oh, I forgot I'm not like floating around in Star Wars comics.
I'm suddenly realizing
looking at how that's a weird photo. That's all I can think of when I look at that.
I agree. I thought there were a couple of them in this book, too. And that one does, they stand out.
It stands out.
I thought it was a little funny, too. I mean, I know, like, the guy with the claw hand is cool, but it's literally almost exactly like what Darth Vader does whenever a guy goes, like, pisses him off. He just chokes him. You know what I mean? It's like, all right. I mean, like, you're sort of a wannabe Darth Vader.
That's right.
But whatever. It's like, oh, like, you're coming here? whatever. He even says, like, the same, like, oh, we are honored by your presence, kind of, like, line from Return of the Jedi or whatever. So, I don't know. But otherwise, no, it's fine. The book is cool. I'm interested where it's going. But, yeah, that was a little, like, I don't know what you'd call it. Lazy, like he didn't touch up the photo enough to make it look like it was actually a drawing or what.
Yeah.
You know?
Or
I don't know what you call it.
It was too good. It looks too good.
Right. Like, it was definitely not a drawing. You know what I mean? And he didn't even try to make it look like he drew.
Yeah.
Or any, it was just a drawing of a person. I mean, a picture of a person. So let me ask you this. Speaking of Star Wars, are we on? Like, did you read this thing about the guy? Is it Rian Johnson or Rian?
R-I-A-N.
Is it Rian? Is that,
yeah.
The director of Last Jedi.
Imagine it was R-Y-A-N.
Just pretend it's a Y.
It's pronounced the same way. Yeah, new Star Wars.
So he's going to just create this whole new Star Wars trilogy. Out of the blue.
Yeah.
That's pretty weird.
It is.
I guess it's cool.
They must really like him. You know?
Yeah, shit. I mean, this guy just gets to just take over and create this whole new thing.
And it's going to be not in Skywalker Town. You know, it could be in the past. It could be in the future. It could be Knights of the Republic.
Just,
it could be...
It's the same universe, though. And, so he can do whatever he wants, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Could be in the Delta Quadrant.
What the hell is the Delta Quadrant?
That's Star Trek.
I don't think you can do that.
You're right. You probably can't do the Delta Quadrant. But, yeah, a new trilogy.
Will there be Jedi? Will there, like, what will be going on there?
Well, this is what I was thinking. I was like, are they going to make, you know, how many more? Is it going to be an episode number? Probably not. It'll be like Star Wars something.
Are they like another? Yeah.
Are they still going to release Star Wars
blah blah episode one? Almost. You know what I mean? Like episode one of a whole new thing, I guess.
Because I don't know, that these movies are supposed to be in three different trilogies, and then that's it, right? According to,
well, yeah, I mean, like, I guess you could have, I guess, like,
according to George, or you could keep going right into the future with them,
right? But they could have episode 10, 11, 12 with like Poe Dameron and whatever, but I mean, like, Han Solo is dead, Princess Leia is unfortunately dead, like, you know, how far do you want to go? Like, eventually, you're getting into new trilogy anyway because they're completely new characters,
right?
But, like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. So maybe they looked at that and thought, well, if we do nine of those, we've got to still keep making money, so let's just do a whole other thing. I suppose it's, I mean, they've been doing it for Star Trek, like you brought up Star Trek. They've been doing, like, Enterprise and Voyager and all these different ships and different things. You know what I mean? They've been doing that for years. So, like, why not do it for Star Wars? Just with completely different characters, just in the same universe.
I wonder if somebody, you know? Like, I wonder if, like, Daisy Ridley would be bummed that she only gets to make three, you know.
I don't know. Who knows? From what I read back in the day, and who knows, he might
have. Or do they make a Rey Solo movie or Poe Dameron
Solo? I mean, they could. From what I remember reading, like, Ewan McGregor back in, like, 2000, whatever, when Revenge of the Sith came out, he was like, oh, I'm so done. Like, so maybe three is good for some of these things, you know? Yeah. Or maybe not. Maybe Daisy Ridley's like, I really like this, I want to do more, and they'll do more. Who knows? But I don't know. Most things are trilogies these days. But I don't know. They did like fucking 8 Harry Potter movies, right? Or not? However the hell many they did of that.
Well, that was like in line with how many books there are. It's like, that's like Game of Thrones, right? You know?
Right, right. Well, they're moving way past the books in Game of Thrones now, right? They just shot past them.
Shoot it on past.
Shit it on. But that'll be interesting, you know. So did you hear about this now? And I don't want to, obviously I'm a fan, but Disney is sort of bullying movie theater chains into keeping, sorry.
This is bullshit. What you're gonna mention? It's fucking bullshit. Go ahead. What? Describe it.
What? Sorry. So DC is saying they have to keep The Last Jedi in their biggest theater for 4 weeks, and they're taking 65% of the profits, is what I read. They did similar things for Force Awakens, but this is going another. This is going a step beyond. Apparently, with more, they're asking for more money and more weeks in the biggest theater. So, I don't know. Some people are rebelling, and some people say we're not even going to carry the movie.
Yeah, because I mean, so, if you're like a smaller theater, there's only so many resources. You're gonna like deny a whole
right. If you take the movie, you're locking it in for a month in your biggest theater. And let's face it, most people are going to see it in the first 2 weeks.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So who's going to be seeing it a month in? Like a few people, but not as nearly as many.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's bullshit. But apparently each theater chain has a slightly different deal, but that's kind of pretty much what it is for, you know, for this.
Yeah.
So if you're, and I mean, if you're one of those giant theaters that has like 20 screens, I mean, that's not that big a deal, I guess. But I don't know. I guess it's interesting. I don't even know what else is coming out like around that time that you would take out Star Wars and put in something else. There's probably something around Christmas, right? That's like coming out that would be popular, and you can't put it in your main theater.
Yeah, it's like a big bully move by like a big huge corporation. I mean, obviously I'm a fan, it is. But it's like, dude.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, do they not have enough money? Like, you have enough money. You are making plenty of money. I don't know. It's a little shitty. You're right.
It just doesn't seem like very friendly to the smaller theater that might be able to put something else in there and like might make the difference of them, you know, having a good weekend or not, you know?
Yeah. No, I totally. It is pretty bad that they would do that. I don't even know what else is coming out. So that comes out on the 15th, right?
Yeah.
Last Jedi of December. So, like, I don't know. There must if 10 days, you know, there's always big movies that come out around Christmas or right before Christmas or on Christmas, even maybe this year, because everybody's off, you know what I mean? And let's, a lot of Jews go to the movies on Christmas.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm not even Jewish, and I go to the movies on Christmas usually, yeah. Or Christmas Eve. Rachel and I have gone, you know.
That's a nice little tradition. Either
Christmas Eve or Christmas. Yeah, we have a nice little tradition. So, like, yeah. Or sometimes we go out and get a little drunk. But, like, anyway, point is, there's always, like, something we want to see.
Yeah. People have a little downtime. You know,
around that time. Yeah.
And I mean, if you're. We're people that can't even see past the nose on our face, like when we know the Star Wars is going to be in the theaters, like that's all we can think about. It's the only movie we see
right
on the marquee. But like, there's plenty of other movies out there. It just doesn't seem very fair. There's definitely not another comic book movie. There's definitely not like, you know, like another Star Wars movie to compete with it. But it just seems shitty, is all.
Yeah. I think, let's see. I know there's movies coming out. When is this Jumanji coming out?
Oh, yeah, Jumanji.
I mean, that's December 20th.
See?
That's starring The Rock. So, I mean, The Rock, he's like the biggest movie star in the world right now, basically, right? I mean, one of them. He's one of the biggest, as far as gross, his movies are making a lot of money. And if you carry Star Wars, you can't put Jumanji in your biggest theater.
Yeah.
Just as an example. Or you can do it. This is the deal. You can, but you have to pay a penalty. You will pay Disney money to take Star Wars out of your theater.
I hate it so much. I hate it.
I know, it's bad when you're like, oh, but I like Star Wars.
I do like Star Wars. And then you forget that, like, you know, maybe I don't like Star Wars and Marvel that much. Like, maybe it's just because I'm, like, getting,
right,
like, spoon-fed it. And, like, I'm getting everything that I want now. Like, you know, like.
I know, it's true.
Getting
it's
all,
like, you don't
getting,
want your. Yeah.
I don't want to not have a new Star Wars movie. But then again, you know.
Like, it's kind of like hearing this stuff about Louis C.K. You're like, oh, I liked Louis. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
No. I didn't know he was creepy. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh, he's a funny guy. And now suddenly all of his stuff takes on.
And I was like, this movie looks creepy, and in like a creepily dangerous like Woody Allen way. I want to see this movie. And now that stuff came out, I was like, ooh, I can't believe I even thought that I wanted to see that movie because I thought it was a little creepy. You know what I mean? Like, there was a curiosity when I saw the trailer. And I was like, oh, it's in black and white. And I was like, you know,
right,
really, you know, like, I feel like Louis's like an auteur. Like, he really pushes the boundaries of like what he did on the stuff on his TV show and his stand up and, you know, very self-reflective, like George Carlin, like makes you really think about the world,
right,
and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, this movie is like really way different than anything else he's done. And now I'm just like, ew, gross.
I know.
Now you're just gross.
I mean, yeah. He's got like two young daughters.
Yeah.
You know? What the hell?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not laughing at it, but you're right. I mean, it does. It's but when you hear about it, and you're like, well, I mean, Harvey Weinstein, you're like, well, whatever, he's just gross, you know. Like, but like, you're like, oh, but I like kind of respected this dude.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah,
you
like,
know? It's weird.
Harvey Weinstein is like behind the scenes, and then like right. like Louis and Kevin Spacey are like people you right. see them create stuff and you like it and you're like a fan of them for a long time, and then it's like
yeah, it's different. Ew.
So now
it's like he's hurting me.
Yeah, and Kevin not. Spacey I mean, obviously... is like, so what are they going to do with the end of House of Cards? You know, like,
I don't know.
What are they going to do?
So there's that movie coming out. Rachel just told me about this last night. There's that movie coming out where they just have to completely cut. They're going to completely cut him out and put in another guy.
Yeah.
Christopher Plummer. Yeah.
Who's like.
And they have to do that 20 by years December older 20.
Than Kevin Spacey.
I thought Christopher Plummer was dead. Sorry. I was like, really? But I mean, yeah. Like, but. If you were like a guy who like was like, you know, a grip or something on House of Cards, that's it. You're out of a job now.
Yeah.
Because this guy couldn't keep in his pants. I mean, and with like young boys. Ugh. It's one thing. I was sort of talking with a friend of mine, and I was like, at least David Duchovny just came out and said, I'm sorry, I'm a sex addict. You know what I mean? Like, he just said it. Yeah. He just was like, you know what? I'm screwed up. I'm a sex addict. Divorced his wife, whatever, you know, and nobody cares. Right? I mean, like...
right.
But, like, when it comes out that you were just being creepy and jerking off in front of young girls, whatever, like, all this awful stuff, it's just like, oh, we can't look at you anymore. I'm sorry. You know, like...
I know.
But I do feel bad, like, for people who now may lose their jobs. And the same thing with Louis C.K., no, like, because he was working on, like, four different shows as executive producer or whatever on FX, and now they're not going to work with him anymore. They're not even going to show his shows in syndication yeah. or anything.
Yeah.
So people are losing money.
Yeah.
Sucks.
That had nothing to do with them, you know? Like...
yeah, exactly. Ugh, weird.
But yeah, to go back to the point, it's like Disney is like a big, huge corporation. I know you're a shareholder.
Right.
You know, but
I am a shareholder. Yeah. Only because I was a Marvel shareholder.
But
now they want to buy 20th Century Fox. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just...
the movie division. So then they'll get X-Men and, you know.
And they're just. Whatever.
I guess for the movies, it'll be cool, but man, like, it's.
They're buying themselves an unfair advantage to have like a bigger gross sales in the reporting, and yeah, it's like they're gonna generate more money for themselves to make the giant engine go around. But like by forcing the theaters to do that, it's just like they're just getting bullied. If I was owner of a small theater, I'd be so pissed.
I know.
I would do this. I would boycott it too. Like I'm not boycott. I mean, yeah. I'd go to see it, but I wouldn't have it playing. But then you're like giving up like a surefire December. Like
I know because the thing is with the theaters, they don't really make the 65% is that's a lot, but they make more money on selling popcorn and shit. You know what I mean? And soda and candy. They don't make a lot of money on the theater on the tickets, because a lot of that goes to the distributor and the studio.
So and that's like, why there's more like experience theaters, like, oh, we'll bring you a drink, we'll bring you food, like, we'll let you pick your seat, like, you know.
Right, because they can charge a little more and whatever. But like, I mean, it's prorated, so like the longer the movie is out, the theater will get more. But you know what I mean? Like with this one, it's like, boom, 65%. But I mean, they can make a ton of money on like concessions, but they have to bring the people in, and they're not going to be able to bring people in if they're not playing Star Wars.
Yeah.
For that week, at least, or those couple weeks.
And then in the extension part, like they could have a weekend. I don't know, I'm repeating myself now, but they could have a weekend where they open Jumanji. That's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, first weekend it's opening.
Right.
And, you know, but. They didn't have room because they only have four theaters in the place, or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's gotta suck for a small theater. I mean, it's gotta suck anyway, but it's really gotta suck for like a smaller theater. I don't know what the solution is really. Like, what do you do? Do you boycott it and cost yourself a lot of money? Or do you just bite the bullet and be like, all right, and try to make as much money as possible on concessions and hope that you can just kind of ride this out for 4 weeks?
And they, because they act like, well, we're doing you a favor. We're giving you fucking Star Wars. So,
you know. Yeah, but we're giving you Star Wars. You know, like the theater is we're playing your movie.
Yeah.
If enough people boycotted it, it would be, you know, but it's not going to happen probably. But you know what I mean? If like literally tons and tons of theaters were like, no, we're not going to show it, then that would be the only way they could really do this. But like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like the, yeah, Disney's like, we're giving you this great movie that people are going to come to see. But it's like, but you wouldn't have anywhere to show it if we didn't like show it. So it's a very, like these two, you know, divisions of the movie, you know, distribution process, they do need each other.
Yeah.
And there's really no reason for Disney to be bullying them. I mean, it's just, they need them as much as, I mean, I suppose Disney could just buy some theaters. But,
yeah. Know,
I don't know. It's a mess. All right. What else you got? You got anything else? Inspired comic books?
I did read some comics. Shows?
Okay.
But, yeah. We covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Let's see.
I got no.
There was a new issue of Slots by Dan Panosian. That book is really good. If you're not reading it, check it out.
I'm not reading it. In fact, I've never even heard of it.
And
Slots.
Then there's another book, which is much like Shade the Changing Man. I mentioned it before. Kid Lobotomy, by Peter Milligan.
Oh yeah.
Tess Fowler. Issue 2 came out. It's IDW's new imprint called Black Crown Imprint, which is basically like Vertigo. Shelley Bond, who used to run Vertigo, is the editor for that over at IDW now. And this is a really weird story where this guy gets powers by performing a lobotomy on his own head. So it's like very psychedelic. And I'm digging it. Because it reminds me a lot of my old Shade the Changing Man days when I was... Back in the day, when that was like my first step into like bizarro, weird artsy comics before I started reading like Sandman with Shade.
So, yeah, very really cool.
Really dig it. So, recommend.
Oh, there's something I do want to talk about really quickly. I didn't read this, but so Terry Moore is doing Strangers in Paradise 25. It's a short run, I think. I don't know exactly how long the run is now that I think of it, but it's been 25 years since he started Strangers in Paradise.
Very cool.
And he's doing like sort of, he's bringing the book back for a little bit. And if you get it directly from him, a subscription, you get a discount and he'll sign every issue for you.
Is there something going on with Strangers in Paradise and like TV show or something?
It was optioned. I haven't heard anything lately, but it's finally being made into I think it was a movie. Or maybe it was a series. Huh. I don't know. It would work better as a series. But it is finally going to get that treatment. I mean, it's been optioned. I don't know. You know, I haven't heard anything else.
Yeah. On way to big
screen. A lot of stuff gets optioned. Yes. On the way to a screen.
A screen.
Probably big screen. Probably the big screen, but maybe a screen. But in comic land, yeah, he's doing a series, he's doing a little comeback. So, yeah, if you want to get it through him, it was $64 through him. So how many issues?
Oh, I don't know. Well, check this out. Angela Robinson, who made the Professor Marston movie you were telling us about, she's the one working on bringing this to the big screen. With Terry.
Oh, there you go. See, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. That was a good movie. Very well. So, there you go. SIP coming back.
Sip Very it. Exciting. Sip it. Have a little sip of it.
So, go to Abstract or just StrangeInParadise.com. Abstract is the name of his company, but if you go to StrangeInParadise.com, you can get all the the straight poop on that one. But yeah, very exciting. Very well.
Very well.
Very well. All right, Clay. I think that's all I got for this.
They're coming to arrest you and
check out. Coming to get me for leaving that Uber driver one star.
Check out Curbcast. Check out patreon.com/curbcast to donate to our new Patreon over there.
Yeah, we'll have a Curbcast coming up Tuesday.
That's if you don't know what that is, it's a Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast. We're recapping and reviewing all of the new Curb Your Enthusiasm season 9s, and we're having a blast doing it. So thanks for listening, and show us some support with our Patreon.
Yeah, seriously, even a buck, something.
Yeah.
But what did Jim say? If you gotta give a buck, give two. But
yeah, give two.
Let's take a buck. But since you're there, anyway, check out the rewards and let us know how we're doing. But definitely listen, because it's fun. And thanks to you, Clay.
Thanks to you
for coming on. And we'll talk to you. Happy Veterans Day, I guess, a day late or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Days
late. But, yeah, very well.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
Check out Curbcast for more of what that means
to us. That's right. All right.
All right.
Adios, assholes.
Later, you fuck. But he must have purple manned his way out of there, right?